Welcome to Our Voices, Our Future, the podcast where we amplify the voices driving change and equity within medicine and beyond, brought to you by the Gender Equity Task Force, a committee of the American Medical Women's Association. We're here to challenge norms, break barriers, and ignite conversations that matter. I'm Laura Oricochea, and in each episode, we'll bring candid discussions with leaders, changemakers, and advocates working to create a more inclusive and just world. No more silence, no more waiting. You're listening to Our Voices, Our Future. Let's get into it. Today, we're welcoming Dr. Amya Habura. Dr. Habura currently serves as the Course Director of Principles of Clinical Medicine and as a lecturer in the Department of Pathology at St. George's University School of Medicine. Before taking these academic roles, she served as a clinical instructor at the same institution. Prior to joining St. George's, Dr. Habura practiced as a general practitioner in Sudan, working in the emergency department at the University of Khartoum Medical and Health Services University Hospital and at Hajj al-Safi Teaching Hospital, as well as in the obstetrics and gynecology department at Al Mualim Medical City. Welcome, Dr. Habura. It's so nice to have you here with us today.
Thank you, Laura. It's my pleasure to be with you today.
All right. So to get us started, can you tell us a little bit about your path to becoming a physician? Are you the first to become a physician in your family?
I can say there was a big moment that made me decide to study medicine. It just came from what I saw actually growing up. In Sudan, I have witnessed how difficult it could be for people to get the medical help, even for simple things. How much difference a caring doctor can actually make in someone's life. That's left a very strong impression on myself and made me want to be part of that change. I was born and raised in Sudan, a very beautiful, very big country with incredible people, with a very rich resources. But like many other developing nations, the health system was struggling to keep pace. What always stayed with me is how generous and respectful the people were back home. They treasured the small act of kindness, and I saw how simple gestures of care can completely change someone else's life. That experience, I feel that what has shaped me and what has shaped what I see medicine at this point. I see medicine as something that is deeply human, not just clinical. I am also the youngest person in my family. I am the only daughter in my family, and my brothers went through different fields from what I have. They went to engineering, they went to accounting, they went to marine science, but none of them actually went into medicine specifically. So I had to carve my own path. My family was very supportive, but we were all trying to figure it out together. I graduated from University of Khartoum. This is one of the largest and one of the oldest and most respectful universities in Africa. It is known for admitting the cream of the cream, the very top student in the country. And studying there was a very incredible experience, but it also came with a lot of pressure. Everyone around me was exceptionally talented, and to survive in that environment, I had to work extremely hard. That intensity taught me discipline, it taught me resilience, those qualities that still shape how I approach teaching as well as my life today.
All right. So you already went into a little bit of what we're going to be talking about today, about those challenges that some of us might face when we're the first in our families to go into medicine. So I was wondering if you could go into a little more detail about those challenges that you faced along the journey, and which of those challenges do you think might not have existed if you had a family member in medicine to guide you?
Definitely. There were definitely many challenges I experienced, and there were definitely many challenges throughout my journey. One of the main challenges was the English language. English, as you can see, is not my first language. And coming straight from high school, where English is just a subject, and suddenly start to study everything in English, and on top of that, medicine is full of Latin terms. It was really tough at the beginning. I still do remember that first day of my school. I went back home with a very big giant textbook of community medicine. I spent hours and hours. I was trying to go through my medical dictionary just to finish one page. it took up so much time. It took up so much effort to actually understand the terminology. But as you can see, I refused to give up. It was also hard for me because I didn't have anyone in my family who actually went through medicine. I had to figure it out on my own, how to study, how to manage the stress, and what to expect from the exam. But I believe by looking back to it, those early struggles has taught me actually be resistant. And this is what made me patient with myself. And this is what made me patient with my students. I always try to remind them that it's okay and always okay to take your time when you ever learn or you study.
I cannot imagine what it would be going to medical school and then just like starting to learn English. English is not my first language either, but I learned it when I was younger. I was going into 9th grade and I remember coming into school and nobody else spoke Spanish. Spanish is my first language. And it was tough, but I can't imagine stepping into that and when you're going to medical school. So I am amazed.
Thank you so much.
How did you find support or a mentorship when you didn't have someone in your immediate circle who understood the process?
In the beginning, the main support came from my friends. My friends, my peers, the upper term students. We had a very strong senior-junior relationship. Usually our seniors were very genuinely help each other. Seniors usually shared notes. They guided us through the exam. They always made the time whenever we needed help. Our professors at the same time, they were very supportive. They allowed us to volunteer in their free clinic. We spent a lot of time with them. They tried to teach us how to approach patients, how to take proper history, how to perform physical exam. All of those experiences have built our confidence, to be honest, and it helped us to learn what is the real meaning of patient care.
Having those upperclassmen helping you and guiding you along the way, I think must have been invaluable. Was there anybody else who was there to support you, or was it mostly the seniors at your school?
Usually mostly the seniors from my school.
Mm-hmm. And you practiced as a general practitioner in Sudan during your early career, right?
That's true.
Can you tell us about your transition to becoming faculty at St. George's University School of Medicine? Was it a difficult process and who guided you?
To be honest, the transition was a quite big step. Working as a general practitioner back in Sudan, I used to have hands-on, I used to see patients, making decisions, managing emergencies. Moving to pure academia meant shifting from just direct patient care to focus on the future doctors, how they think, how they learn. At the beginning, it definitely wasn't an easy process. Everything was new for me. I was far away from my family. I was trying to adjust to the island life. I was trying to adjust to the education system, the logistics of each session, and how the courses were actually designed. But I was very fortunate to have an excellent training system at SGU and a very supportive colleagues who actually guided me through that process. I started as a clinical instructor, and I gradually took on more responsibilities, but it wasn't easy at all.
And can you remind me how long you've been working at SGU?
Currently, almost 3 years now.
Okay, so that's quite recently. And honestly, from what you've told us so far, I can see how valuable good mentorship and guidance could be for our success and to help us overcome difficult challenges such as moving away from home, from family and friends and everything you know. I'm very impressed by your story. You have accomplished a lot thus far.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. In what ways has your own path in medicine influenced how you teach and mentor your students?
My clinical experience, I feel, helped me a lot. It allowed me to bring the real clinical context into teaching, to teach the student what to learn and to connect the theory to what they will actually see in practice. That helped me a lot. the balance between having the science purely and your patient care, this has become the core of my kitchen philosophy. Because I went through many challenges myself, I try to make the learning less intimidating for my students. I try to encourage them to think, to ask questions, to see the patient behind the case. I also try to remind them that it's okay. It's okay not to know everything. What matters is actually being curious and committed to improving every day. As SGO, we have a very large, very diverse group of students. And I feel that each one of those students, they have their own story to tell. I keep reminding them that medicine is not an easy pathway to take. It is hard and it will get harder. But with time, you will adapt, you will grow, and you will learn from every hiccup along the way. I always tell them that we are here to support, we are here to guide you, we are here to give you help that you need. We are all been in your shoes before, feeling lost, feeling unsure of how to study, where to start. I want them to know that those feelings are normal and they are not alone in this journey.
Your students are so lucky to have faculty like you.
Thank you very much, Laura. You're making me blush today.
No, seriously. I think sometimes people who are already further in their careers, and even me now as a fourth year medical student, sometimes we might forget how hard it was to get where we are. And when we forget, it's a little harder to empathize with others who are in the earlier stages of their careers. And I think it's very important to keep that in mind. And it shows that you clearly remember and work hard to make it easier for students and to enhance their learning by remembering how hard it was for you at the beginning of the process. So the AAMC defines first-generation medical students as those whose parents did not complete college and or did not attend medical school. In the 2023-2024 cycle, about 11% of U.S. medical school matriculants fell into this category. From your perspective, what are some of the unique challenges these students face, maybe ones we haven't touched on yet as we talked about your own journey?
I think it's very important to make the distinction between being a first generation college student and being a first generation medical student. A first generation college student is often the first in their family to attend or complete higher education at all. So from the beginning, they are trying to learn how the academic world looks like, how to study, how to manage the time. It's often this has happened with a very little guidance or a family experience to actually rely on. When you say first generation medical student, on the other hand, imagine that you are coming from a family that may or may not have a college graduate, but there was no one to guide you through medicine. This creates another burden, and it will create an extra gap. And they might understand if their family has someone who graduated from college, they might understand the academic life in general, but they will not understand the culture of medicine. And this is something that you could relate on as well, Laura. The long training, the emotional demand, the unspoken expectation that usually come with becoming a doctor, how to approach the clinical learning, how to find your mentor, how to balance your personal life with such a demanding pathway. So the first challenge would be simply how to navigate the system. Many of the first generation students will come in without someone at their home who can actually understand what the medical school will really involve. They are trying to figure out everything by themselves, starting from study strategy to exam, even how to handle the feedback on their own. It can be very overwhelming. At the beginning, especially, it would be very overwhelming for them. But because there is no one actually to guide them through those small and yet very important details. Definitely, we can't forget the big elephant in the room, the emotional pressure. Many of those students will carry the weight of the expectation. And this is something I experienced personally. You don't want to let down your family. You want to make them proud. This pressure can be very heavy at some times. but this is also will become the source of motivation that will keep you moving forward.
Yeah, I can relate to a lot of what you are saying right now. I am the first in my family to go to medical school. My parents did graduate college, but they didn't graduate from an institution here in the U.S. And so it works differently. You have to get a bachelor's degree first, and then you can go to medical school, and then applying to residency. And so there's also all the expectations and demands. And even though they're very supportive, I don't think they'll ever understand what it's like and what I've gone through. Since they didn't go through it themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah. In my case, I've been fortunate enough that my partner is also going to medical school. So we've kind of had each other. But he's also the first going into medicine in his family. And his parents actually didn't even attend college. So it's been even more challenging for him to explain to his family how it all works. But luckily we've had each other, but I can't imagine if it were just me, because I love my parents and they support me so much. But when I tell them the things that I go through during school and at the hospital and everything that goes through as you progress in medicine, there's no really understanding. As much as they try to understand, it's not the same since they haven't gone through it.
That's true. I was very lucky to have a very supportive family. My father is a higher college. My mother is a principal. But as you mentioned, no one of them actually went through medicine. These things, you have to go through it because it's very difficult to explain. You have to live through this so you could actually bring the actual experience to someone else.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, so I think that for students whose parents didn't even attend college, I think they face even more challenges. But do you think that students whose parents did attend to college, and we kind of already touched on this, however, they're not physicians, so they're maybe accountants, engineers, professors, teachers. Do you think they face similar challenges?
Yes, definitely. Even students, those whose parents were college graduates, but not from a medical background, will face their own version of that challenge, to be honest. Medicine, as I told you, it has its own language, it has its own culture, it has its own rhythm. It's not like any other field. So even if the student's family understand the higher education, they might not fully grasp what the medical training demands, how academically and emotionally it could be. Sometimes the students, specifically those students, they will feel they have been caught between the cracks. They are not a first generation in the traditional sense, but still they do not have an insider understanding of how the medicine works, the long hours, the emotional ups and downs, and the clinical expectation. And that's why these things are very hard to explain unless you actually live through them.
So first-generation medical students are more likely to come from lower-income households and be underrepresented in medicine. Therefore, helping this cohort of students overcome the many barriers that exist could help diversify the pool of physicians we see in the U.S. How do you think institutions or mentors could better support this group of students?
I think that support needs to start early on, from the moment the student actually joined the medical school. An institution can do a lot by creating clear orientation programs that explains not only the academic expectation, but also the culture of medicine. What professionalism looks like, how to seek mentorship, how to use the available resources. All of these are very important. Mentorship is also another key part. Pairing first-generation students with approachable faculty or with other senior students can make a huge difference. Sometimes these students need nothing more than someone to actually speak to, someone that can actually understand the stress, someone can tell you are doing fine, just keep going. I feel that at SGU, we have an excellent mentor-mentee program that really helps in this case. It connects the junior student with a senior one, with a faculty member, especially for the USMLE programs and exams as well. This kind of structure support will help the student to feel less isolated and more confident in navigating their journey. And it is not, I feel it's not just about academic help. Emotional support, as I mentioned, is very important. Emotional support is matters. Medical school can be very overwhelming. Having the sense of that you have a community will make a lot of difference.
I agree. I think mentorship could be so valuable. I see that a lot of schools have first-generation clubs for those students whose parents didn't attend college, but I feel like we also should start including students who are their first in their family to enter a career in medicine, even if their parents did attend college, so that they can also find and get the support that they need along the way. What do you think about the future of medicine? Do you think we'll start to see more first-generation students matriculating into and graduating from medical school?
I'm very optimistic. I'm very optimistic about the future of medicine. Mm-hmm. There is much more awareness about equity, about the value of diversity. I feel that medical schools are starting to realize that students from different backgrounds usually bring perspectives that is actually truly strengthening the patient care. I do believe that we will continue to see more first generation medical students entering and succeeding in medicine. This pathway is very demanding and is still very demanding, but they are usually very important, as we can see, growing support. Better mentorship programs has been evolving, more accessible resources, and there has been a real effort to make the system more fair. To be honest with you, what gives me the most hope is the mindset of this new generation, this conversation. This conversation that we are actually having right now is a great example. Your generation is much more open, more collaborative, genuinely care about making a difference. If we keep building supportive environment and giving the student the tool they need, the future of medicine will be more diverse, definitely. It will be more empathetic and more patient-centered.
Yeah, and let's hope that in the future we have more patients that can see themselves in the physicians that are caring for them, and that we see groups of physicians who are more diverse and, like you said, bring different perspectives to the table to improve patient care. What advice would you give to students who are first in their families to pursue medicine? Those who may be walking a similar path and learning to navigate without a roadmap?
My biggest advice would be, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to ask for help. No one is expected to know everything. Medicine is a long journey that none of us need to walk it alone. Be patient with yourself. Always be patient with yourself. There will be moments that you feel things are very unclear, overwhelming, but this is part of the process. This is completely normal. You will learn to adapt. You will learn to grow stronger with every challenge. I also tell my students to celebrate the small wins, passing a tough term or passing a tough exam, understanding a concept that you have struggled with, even just making through a tough and demanding week. Those moments will build resilience. And most important, always, always remember your why. The reason that you choose medicine will carry you through the hard days. You belong here. Your perspective always matters. Even every step that you take is not just for you. This is actually for those who are coming and will follow you in the same path one day.
Thank you so much. That piece of advice you just gave, I feel like I also needed to hear that. And many of us, students, residents, and even already practicing physicians, I think we need to remember to celebrate the small wins that we have in our daily lives and remember why we're here and why we chose this career and this path, and to help us, remind us of that purpose that can help us keep going. Thank you again so much for all your wise words.
Thank you, Laura, for having me today as well.
Of course. I think we had a great conversation, and I think this conversation will resonate with many of our listeners. And that's a wrap on this episode of Our Voices, Our Future. We hope today's conversation inspired you, challenged you, and reminded you of the power of raising your voice. The fight for equity doesn't stop here. Join us in the movement. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you loved this episode, share it with someone who needs to hear it. Until next time, stay bold, stay vocal, and keep the conversation going. This is Our Voices, Our Future.